Every Sunday, I go to put this lapel on, and I can't see it because of my, I can't see my lapel because of the mask. Good morning. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you to Alum Creek. It's good to see you this Sunday morning. We have our service streaming online this morning for the first time, so welcome to everybody watching online. And be careful what you say, it's broadcast to the whole world. Just kidding. It is a beautiful week. Hopefully you enjoyed the sunshine this weekend, and it's exciting to have you with us today as we continue our worship time. Got some exciting news this week about things continuing to progress, and hopefully it will be more common to see folks without their masks out in public the next couple of weeks. And obviously we'll be making changes here before too long, so we'll just continue to ride the vibe of positivity. So it's it's good to see these numbers going down and all that kind of stuff. So before we get started today, we just want to share a couple announcements. Make sure everybody got their donuts. Cecilia, did you take the last one? No? All right, they're still out there, so make sure you get there. We have some big things coming up in the next couple of weeks. Want to make sure that you guys are aware of. This coming Tuesday, we are going to be providing lunch for our friends over at the Alum Creek Elementary School back here on our new grill. As you walked in, you saw our new grill. Excited to break that thing open and grill us some hamburgers and hot dogs. If you happen to be available during around 10:30 to 11, or 10:30 to about 1, if you want to come join us out there, we'll be serving our preschool staff and the elementary school, and you can have a hamburger, hot dog while we're out there and just enjoy hanging out. So we got that. We're looking forward to having it out our pavilion, have some cookouts this summer. So can't wait until we are able to do that. So that's this coming Tuesday. And then we're going to continue to hammer away our June 6th date as we have several things kind of coming together for that. We've got a couple food trucks that will be here that night. Just a fun night to kind of be together, kick off summer, and actually with all the orders kind of changing on June 2nd, then it looks like that Sunday ought to be a great Sunday to celebrate and be together. So we hope that you guys will be able to join us that night. We're going to kick that off around 5 o'clock, between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Just be together, hang out, play together, eat together. Really looking forward to really kind of a kickoff to the summer because the next day, several of us are going to be headed out to paint some houses for our work camp service project. So finally this week, I got a list of some houses to go check out this week. We got a group from Cincinnati coming up. Anybody who's interested in helping that week, let me know if you have some time. I know Dave and Kristen, you guys are going to be with us that week, right? Dave's kind of running the show. So we're hoping to get a couple houses painted. But if you have any time, you can come for the whole week. If you just are available for a day or so, just let us know. We'll put you to work. So we'll probably be in the Linden and Hilltop area. That's where we're kind of hoping to be. So logistics are still kind of working forward. May have a couple other things going on, but we're actually going to kick that off that night, June 6th, and getting ready to roll. So those are the things that are kind of coming up. June seems like it should be like 6 months away, but it's just like 2 weeks away if you're able to get your calendar, which is crazy. I think that's all I got. Brian, am I forgetting anything? The main events that we have kind of coming along the bend. Any prayer requests or anything like that that anybody needs to pass along this morning before we get started? All right. No news is good news, I suppose. Well, it's great to see all of you here. And man, I don't know about you, but I just felt like this week was a big step forward in finding some semblance of our normals as we go along. So with no further ado, I'll turn it over to Brian, and we'll get started.
Good morning, everyone. Well, that was nice. He actually responded. That was nice. Everybody must have got a good night's rest last night. We're all awake. That's good. Let's all stand and sing "He Has Made Me Glad" this morning. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen. Be seated, please.
So this morning, our kids get to be here. What an honor for you to be with us today. I know you missed us the last couple weeks. Bailey, aren't you just so glad? I saw you walk in the door, and you're like, man, I'm so glad I get to hang out in with every. No, not so much. Well, let's play a little picture game to start. Hopefully you can hang out. Then you can go back to rolling your eyes at me, Bailey. I remember when I was a kid. I always loved optical illusions. Like, I remember, like, in elementary school, the teachers would always have those books that had, like, a bunch of them, and you just go page by page. And this morning, we're going to play a little, it's not really a game, but we're going to look at some of these images. Go ahead and put the first one up there. This is probably one of the most famous. Bailey, have you seen this image before? Seen this? Okay, so what do you see up there? What kind of person? Is it a young lady or is it old lady? Oh, okay, so you see the young lady. All of you see the young lady, right? The young lady with the something on her head and the flowing black hair. But do you know, Bailey, that there is also a picture of an old lady in that picture as well? Kellen, do you see it? There's an old lady up there. Yeah, if you look at the very bottom white, and that's a chin, you see it yet, Bailey? The brotherly support over there. You guys all see this? I thought this was an easy one, Bailey. You're really gonna struggle with some of the other ones, right? Like I've just thought this. Yeah. You see that? I've always thought this was just a hilarious picture because it's. There's two images, but you naturally see one before you see the other one. The jawline of the younger woman is the nose of the older woman, if that makes sense. You got this. Gerald, you got it in the back row. You all see this? You're good? You got this? Okay. This one, I think, the next one is a little bit easier to see, I think. Go to the next one. Cecilia, what do you got here? What's that picture of? Got a guy with a saxophone, right? Come on. It's pretty easy to see. But you also can see a picture of a woman, kind of a profile of the woman there. This just tells you a lot about me. Like, I think these are awesome. Some of you are going, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done. But I think it's really cool, so. But it's not only the optical illusions of kind of two images that are I find amazing and interesting. Look at, go to the next one. This is always one that kind of weirds me out. And I don't know how well it's going to work on the big screen, but does it look like it's moving? I promise you it's not moving, but your eyes are telling you that it's moving, right? Violet, does it look like it's moving? It's not moving. You're wrong. I think, isn't there another one of these? It's the next one. That one is like one of the most classic. It looks like there's, you can't look at it and the wheels are turning, but I promise you they're not. It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it weird? Then I found some, so I was familiar with all these. Now I found some that I had not seen before that I thought were humorous, like this one. Franks, I forgot you guys were down there. I couldn't see you down there. You see, yeah, you got the images. I love the. What's the next one? Oh yeah, this one's really weird. Is it a profile? Is it the guy from the side or from the front? Go to the next one. This one's kind of weird. If it wasn't for the guy all the way on the right, then you might not even realize that those are the same guy. Back and forth, back and forth. Callan, you see this one? This one's pretty cool. So it's silhouettes of that guy. Yeah. All right, the next one was, I thought this next picture was hilarious. See what your eyes do right away. It just takes you a second to see what's going on there. Whoa. Wait a second. All right, then there's one more. Look at this one. This one is really always been strange to me. Those dots are all white. But when you look at them, it looks like they're moving, at least for me, and they're like blinking and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I think I've used these illustrations, a couple of them before, to talk a little bit about perspective. I think that's kind of a natural kind of message that kind of comes from these. But today I want to try to delve a little bit more, a little deeper than simply perspective. Because changing your perspective is a little bit of a superficial kind of idea. So it's an important one, you know, have a good perspective, look at things the right way. But I think this next image will help kind of relay the idea. So, Catherine, what do you see up here? What is this picture of? All right, two people. They look comfortable, uncomfortable. I mean, to me, it's just kind of a picture of serenity, of peace. Looks like the guy's got a cigarette or something in his hand. I know it's a little bit grainy since it's blown up so big, but there's a husband and wife or two friends. You can't really tell a lot, but it just looks just a nice, right? Just a nice picture. But when you get a little bit of a different perspective, go ahead to the next slide. What it actually is a pile of trash. And all that is a shadow. So it's shadow art, and it looks like this peaceful picture of serenity. And then when you scale back, you realize that it's just a big pile of trash. And I found this week, and I thought, what a really kind of cool concept. And it seems to me that, like, this is why it's not just about changing your perspective. Because once you know that it's a big pile of trash, I don't care what perspective you're using, you know in your mind that it's a big pile of trash, and you're forever going to be jaded about that. And so today is not really about changing your perspective. Something much more significant happens to us when we realize that things, very significant things, aren't the way that we thought they were. And it's probably, it's even dark for me to say, well, everything in life is a big pile of trash. But it's not that, but it's things in life eventually turn out to be not the way that they thought they were. I think it's why the scene in The Wizard of Oz is such a powerful scene, because all of us at some point in our life can really relate to that. When you're a kid, I don't think you really get it. But as an adult, you do, right? You're like, oh, yeah. There's the man behind the curtain, right? Pay no mind. But once you know he's back there, then that changes everything. It's just like the pile of trash. Once you know that it's a pile of trash, you can't go back to realizing that it's not a pile of trash. I remember this. I think I first heard this word in college, because I think we all can resonate with that idea, but it's difficult to maybe label it. And I remember this popular word in college. It's kind of a fancy word, disillusionment. And I remember as we talked about it, I was like, that's it. Disillusionment is the idea that things were not as what we thought they were. And there's a positive side to disillusionment, because in some ways, part of maturing and growing up is to become disillusioned with with the reality of the way things are. You grow and mature, and you're not naive, right? That would be the positive side. You don't want to be naive your whole life. But then there's this other side, and this is the one I think that's really biting at all of us right now, because disillusionment can very easily lead to cynicism and cold-heartedness and bitterness. Because the man behind the curtain sometimes pulls back stuff that we would rather just not have known. People that we really respected and looked up to turned out to be not who we thought they would be. Things in life operate in ways that we didn't realize. Things are a little bit more conjured and precipitated in ways that we didn't necessarily know or realize. It's impossible to overcome or ignore disillusionment. It happens to all of us. The question is, how do we lean into the positive side of it, not the negative side of it? This is hard. This is a little bit more difficult than just changing your perspective. This is about dealing with the truth when it comes our way. And so I started thinking this week, I wonder who would you say is the most disillusioned person in the Bible? Like, it's kind of a hard idea to kind of put on top of the Bible. I thought of Elijah. Elijah, I think, has come up almost every week. He was sitting in the cage, in a cave, pretty disillusioned. Things crashing down around him. It wasn't the way that he thought it was going to be. His expectations were not what they were not met. I don't think you want to hear about Elijah anymore. So I came across Peter. And I think there's this instance in the Gospels where Peter, it might be the most disillusioning moment in Scripture. It happens in Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah." Hey, there's Elijah again. "And others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then he asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter was the one who spoke up and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because of my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. Now, I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the power of hell will not conquer it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So we push pause in the story for a minute, because it's a great moment for Peter. Like, it's among his best moments. And imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, telling you, "You're blessed and you're a rock and I'm going to build my church on you." Like, it is an amazing moment. And Peter, he thinks he's finally got it all figured out, right? Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter's going, I know. "You're the Messiah, you're the Son of God." And Jesus says, "Yes." And then right after this is this huge disillusioned moment when it turns out he didn't know what he thought he knew. From then on, Jesus began to tell the disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside because Peter knew what he was talking about. Peter was enlightened. Peter knew better. And so he reprimanded Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Who wants to be the guy to reprimand Jesus? Peter reprimands Jesus for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." In a matter of seconds in our reading of the text, Jesus goes from calling Peter blessed and a rock to Satan. There is no greater disillusioned moment in Scripture that I could think of, where someone thinks they understand how things are going to work. They think they got kind of things figured out, and then all of a sudden, it's the total opposite. It's not anything that he had thought. This is the same one that Jesus had just said, hey, I'm going all in on Peter. He's the rock. You know, we usually think of disillusionment and cynicism just kind of going together where, you know, we just throw our hands up at things. Oh, you know, that's just how politics works. That's just the government. That's just bureaucracy. That's just church. You can just imagine all the ways that we're disillusioned by our institutions and the realities of our world. I mean, disillusionment has been a hot ticket during the pandemic, right? I mean, you could just put targets on all people, politicians, scientists, like everybody has had this kind of cloak of disillusionment removed from their eyes. It's not what they thought. Like, I don't know, let's show of hands. How many of you would have been able to name the director of infectious diseases before last year? Like, nobody ever knew that person even existed, but now all of a sudden everybody knows, and it's kind of, you see how that, now for the rest of your lives, you're going to know that there's a guy or a girl who has that role in the country, and we may never see them on TV ever again, but you can't go back to where you didn't know that, and that's just kind of pulled the curtain back all of a sudden on what do we do with that information. It's not the way that we thought it was. And there's probably a lot of things that we could say over the last year and a half. Boy, I didn't know that this happened, or this is the way things work. And it's forced a lot of us to think differently about a lot of different things, and that's exactly what Peter is dealing with on a very significant level. He thought he knew, like, all the purposes of his life, his calling, his teacher, he thought all of those things were in sync. And then in the blink of an eye, he's got to scratch his head and go, wait, what do I do? And then right after this, Jesus takes this opportunity to then kind of cast the net broader, beyond just Peter. And Jesus tells his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, then you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some of you standing right here will not die before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You see, the fact of the matter is you can dress up the calling of Jesus any way you want, with flashy worship music and dynamic programs, nice looking people. But at the end of the day, he calls us to give up our own way. That's a pretty disillusioning idea. Wait, I thought it was all about me. Like, didn't you think it was all about you? Like, I thought life was all about me. I thought it was about doing things my way and getting my way. And Jesus comes along and he says, no, it's actually, you've got to give up your own way to follow Jesus. You know, the people and institutions around us are pretty similar to us. Not good. Failures often. And so it is kind of funny that we are so easily disillusioned. That's your new vocabulary word today, children, by the way. Disillusionment. The key to us overcoming our disillusionment is, how do we allow this not to crash our spirit? How do we allow this to be something we can reckon with? Because when you really stop and think about it, the Bible is a pretty disillusioning book. Like, the Bible teaches this. Everybody sins. Everybody sins. You sin. The person beside you sins. Your grandma sins. Margaret Dronsfield, who's pretty awesome, sins. Everybody. Like, there's no more disillusioning idea than that, to look around going, because I know when you're a kid, like, my kids think I'm the best, right? No, they're teenagers now. That ship sailed a while ago. But when they're little, they think, man, mom and dad are the greatest. You know, the people on TV, they're the greatest. And you go through this experience where you realize, no, they're kind of terrible. Oh, they do some bad things. And the Bible is kind of reassures us that, yeah, don't be surprised, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so the thing that makes me most interested, and I think this is probably the part this morning that, if you haven't followed me so far, think this will probably preach as well as anything. So Jesus and John, we're told that he knew why he had come. He knew what he was going to have to do. The passage we just read in Matthew, he was explaining to the disciples, I got to go to the city, they're going to do a lot of terrible things to me, and eventually I'm going to die. You would have thought that he would be the most cynical person of all, right? I mean, he already knew that everybody around him was going to betray him. He already knew that people were going to whoop up on him. And yet somehow, he didn't allow that disillusion, cynicism to creep into his life. I mean, would anybody look at Jesus and say, yeah, he's a pretty cynical guy? No. He's the opposite of cynical. He holds on to hope, and he preached hope to these people. That's what he said in Luke, I come to bring hope, preach hope to those who are lost. So Jesus gives us the cure to disillusionment. It's somehow finding delight in the world. To move from disillusionment, go ahead and put the next slide up. To move from disillusionment to delight. And I think there's a couple things, as I've tried to do each week, just a couple ideas to maybe help this. Remember, we're talking about transformation and trying to allow, disillusionment is going to happen, but how do we allow it to turn us to delight? And I think the first step is to realize and remind yourself that you're part of the problem. Like, I think when some people are disillusioned, you see the person behind the curtain and you think, oh, well, you're part of the problem too. We all sin. We all fall short. And so we create systems that are a mess. The second thing is you got to remember who it is that we're fighting against. Paul says in Ephesians 6 that to be strong in the Lord and mighty in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in this heavenly place. There's something bigger going on behind this world, which I think will help us as we deal with things that we don't understand and we're disappointed in ways that we don't understand, and these big kind of powers seem to be at work in our world against us. And Paul says, yeah, yes, and that's who we're kind of at war with. And fortunately, God has given us the power and strength through Christ to overcome those things. Which the third thing, to go back to our pictures, you still need to keep your perspective. The great thing is that we have this image. You remember that image of the trash and the shadow on the wall? The thing, a more biblical picture would probably be the reverse, where there's this amazing, beautiful picture, and the shadow on the wall is sometimes a wreck. And we can become so enamored with the shadow and the stuff, thinking that it's all negative. And remember that the image is Christ in the middle of it. That's what's powerful. That's keeping that before us all of the time is what gives us hope to continue to move forward. And the last thing, and this is just a message that we should preach all the time, is just to rely on prayer. I mean, how do we stay connected to God through all of these different things that we've been talking about? Like, if you're not finding time to really connect to God some way, then those powers that are at play, they're going to mess with you pretty well. It's being rooted and connected in the gospel of Christ and his promise to hear our prayers when we offer them. I hope this is helpful. I hope this makes sense to you. To me, I feel like, I don't know how well of a job I did, but I feel like the topic of disillusionment is a really, really important message for people to deal with, particularly at this time. And I think helping us to navigate through the realities, and I think the time, the world of the internet, where we're just constantly, we got so much information. Like, we learn about stuff that we probably sometimes wish we didn't know about. Like, man, I didn't know things operated this way, or this is how things work. And what do we do with that information? I think that's important and powerful, and hopefully these couple, tidbits will kind of help us along the way to keep our eyes focused on Christ through everything. That's why we praise him. It's the name of the song that we're going to stand and sing. So if you want to stand up and sing this song with us as we move forward.
He came to live, live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. He came to live, live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go, prepare a place for us. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. Hallelujah. 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 That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything.
You see it, please?
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those on our live streaming service this morning. We welcome you in worshiping with us. Today I'm going to offer a few thoughts about communion. For those of you who don't know, I'm a special education assistant at Thomas Worthington High School, and one of the classes I'm in this semester is called Native American Studies. So we're learning about the Native Americans, and on Friday, our class did what is called the blindfold walk. And what they do is they blindfold each student, and the teacher has set up, if you've never been to Thomas Worthington, behind the baseball field is kind of a little wooded area, and a little creek off the Olentangy runs through there. And the teacher set up a course, and he had a string, and the kids were all barefoot. And what he told them to do, he took each one individually, they had their blindfold on. Kind of wasn't COVID safe as I thought about it, but he had them hold on to the string and they had to traverse the course. And there is rocks and branches. I mean, this isn't like walking on cement out there blindfolded. You're out in the woods. And the idea is, when the Native Americans would walk in the woods, they do what's called the weasel walk, where you take your foot and you kind of roll it to see what's going through there. I personally naturally do that in my bedroom when the lights are off to make sure that I don't trip on a shoe that's on the floor. I realized that one night when I was walking in my, I'm like, oh, I'm doing the weasel walk. So anyway, I started thinking about it, and they had to hold on to the string. This was just twine. This wasn't like a thick rope, it was very thin. And they have to hold on to that and traverse the course. And then when they get to the end, he goes, okay, take off your blindfolds, go out to the field house, rinse off your feet, put your socks and shoes on. So, and these kids are all juniors and seniors. This isn't like really little kids. These are all pretty grown-up type of kids. But I was thinking about it this morning when I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I'm like, you know, that string is like Jesus. It's what we hold on to get around our life. And Mr. Cox, not that I'm trying to elevate him or anything, but he gave them the instructions like God gives us the instructions, or like our Bible gives us the instructions on how to do it. And even though his goal is to teach them how the Native Americans use Mother Earth to get where they need to go, that string, it was their lifeline. I mean, some of those kids were holding on for dear life because it was scary not being able to see. I mean, you can imagine not having your sight and having to transverse. And it was slippery, and it was because it had been raining pretty much all week. But that lifeline is like our lifeline. And today when we take communion, you know, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is that lifeline. Jesus is that string. So try to think about this. This is the beginning of the week. This time is your connection to Jesus, to take him with you this week and be your lifeline as you go through it. If you'll take a moment and pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity for us to focus on your Son by taking the bread of life and the fruit of the vine. As we each individually do this, let us remember his sacrifice on the cross and that you sent him to be our lifeline to you, our string to hold on to as we go through our life. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you all for being here this morning. It was again a blessing to be with you here in this place, worshiping the one and only true God. Pray that you all have a blessed week as we move forward and as we close out our service this morning. Special thank you to everybody that joined us online, and invite you back next week, and look forward to worshiping again with everybody here at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. Let's stand and sing about how we overcome.
Your light broke through my night, restored exceeding joy. Your grace fell like the rain and made this desert live. You have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. Your hand lifted me up. I stand on higher ground. Your praise rose in my heart and made this valley sing. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. This is how we overcome. 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 You have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. This is how we
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opportunity, Lord, to worship you, to gather together, lift you up, Lord, and lift up our hearts to you, realizing, Lord, you are the one. I love how Kristen put it, the lifeline. You are the one, Lord, that can touch us in a way to truly turn our sorrow into joy. We pray that you change us. You transform us from what we were even before we walked into this building this morning, Lord, into something new, something better. A change for good, Lord, that we can be the image of Christ in our community, in our families, in our places of work, and just out interacting with public. Realizing, Lord, that just being Christ and acting Christ-like is stronger than any sermon or words that can ever be spoken. For by our actions and our love, they will know that there's something different. I pray that the seeds that have been planted in the weeks, months, and years ago, that they start to take root, that they grow. Lord, that we find that we are in the middle of a new season, a new time, a time of growth and realizing that those that have been seeking for so long, Lord, are finding. We ask that you use this church and however you see fit to help those that are seeking find the love of Christ. Continue to be with us as we step out on faith, realizing that you again are that lifeline guiding us. Thank you so much for the confidence that we have because of the love you have for us. Pray all these things through your Son who died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.